testicles ruptured, testicles grabbed. You're listening to the Jai and Woody Show, brought to you by Stag Sports Performance Wear, the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. Welcome back to the Jai and Woody Show. Woody is back from the dead. How are you, lad?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Little R&R, 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm good to go.
Fully charged.
Fully charged, mate.
Beautiful. We got ex-Leeds legend, Lee Smith. How are we, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Good to be here. Good to be here. We got a jam-packed show. We got testicles ruptured, testicles grabbed. Just a jam-packed ram show. Fuller than a centipede's sock drawer. You like that?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Right, where do you want to start, boys? Where do you want to kick off? Let's talk about this nut grabbing. Are you the toughest man in sport still? Because Jack Hughes, 50
listen,
minutes.
Listen, it's still there in black and white, the Guardian newspaper, that I am the toughest athlete on the planet.
No, but there's discrepancies.
But listen to this. No, listen, I went to the Warrington game and I was speaking to Darrell Clark, and Darrell Clark said that he's not had it removed, Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes has not had his testicle removed. He's just
so arguably tougher. He's kept it in.
Well, when I said...
If he plays next week, he's tougher. Because he's kept it in.
But I did it in a grand final. There was no game the week after. I can't play against myself.
Did you go to Mad Monday?
Yeah, I went Magaluf 4 days later.
Ooh, so what do you reckon?
Party hard.
Play, no, that's you know, good on you.
So, yeah. It's tough to beat, isn't it? Really rubs. You're getting it removed and then you still went to MAGA. Hey, speaking of Mad Mondays, I've obviously had a little spray at Paul Kent over the weekend just because he thinks Mad Monday should be banned. Ex-player.
They should be
banned.
You
know what I hate about journos?
They should be banned. They should be.
You know what I hate? What?
They're a joke.
What?
No, I'm not joking.
I heard recently you've named your drink inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And me and Woody haven't even made it. Well, is that because of lack of drinking times with us?
Yeah,
or?
I think so. Jai, especially Jai, and I had a drink with you before properly, mate.
But you've heard stories, eh?
Some good stories, yeah. Woody's, you're born again, aren't you now? You don't drink.
Mate, I don't drink.
You're a Christian?
No, I'm not.
You followed Simo down that path?
No, I'm not born again or anything. I just decided to quit drinking.
Yeah, well,
are
basically.
Still going?
Pardon?
Still going strong?
Yeah, mate, yeah, I'm still going.
How long has it been?
Be 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, 4 years, yeah.
Oh, it must have been about the time I had a drink with you then. I ended you.
Yeah, when I finished at Featherstone, it was actually.
You're not the first drinking career I've ended, and you certainly won't be the last. No, but basically, Paul Kent, he's ex-player. He's turned around and said that they should be banned. But what a load of shit, hey. Like, it's our time to let our hair down, right? As long as it's done responsibly, which it isn't. But look, yeah. You let your hair down. The problem in the NRL is they've got bloody Channel 9 news cameras up trees. Mm-hmm. Blaring them down with super focus, £50,000 worth of camera equipment and microphones shoved into a pub. Yeah. I mean, you're looking for trouble. You're looking for a headline. You know what I mean?
I don't agree with what they're doing in the NRL. I think it's, you know, you're teeing boys up to get, you know, knocked over. And it's good, isn't it? You'll know from your drinking days. Woody, end of season, you want to let your hair down. You know, if you've come off back, especially winning a trophy. Yeah. Back end.
Have you won some
trophies? It's always a good few days.
We was always draining our sorrows. But you're right. I mean, one of my best end of season trips was that after that grand final. Went to Magaluf about 4 or 5 days later. We bumped into Simo and Scrooge's stag do. So there was like Oak Warrington boys with her, a couple of Yorkshire lads with her. And it one of the best times I've ever had in my life. But Mad Mondays is part of your memories from when you finish playing. You have a lot of good memories on the field, a lot of good memories, you know, during your week in training, but your Mad Mondays are always spoke about, and it is a good time. I get what the guy's saying who's criticised Mad Mondays by saying, you know, they're not abstinent for the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they've not had a drink all year, so now they can go nuts. I get that, what he's saying, but at the end of the day, it's...
I think he's coming from the angle that, like, your whole career can go up in smoke really quickly if you're doing, you know, the wrong thing. But, you know, if you're going to the players, the players have a choice. If you're in a pub, the last thing you want after the season is finally all dust.
Australia's different because, like you said,
it doesn't happen over here, really.
I mean, if at Warrington, we used to have a Mad Monday and we said, let's... if we could help it, we wouldn't have it in Warrington because we knew we'd be recognised. And
yeah.
We only had to probably drive 30 miles down the street and or into another town and no one would know us, you know. Then you can do what you want. It's, you know, or we go to Blackpool. Mm-hmm. You can't get kicked out of a bar in Blackpool.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have got to be smart. You've got to be sensible about, you know, what you're doing. But it is no holds barred. I mean, there's things I've seen on a Mad Monday and you just simply can't talk about them here.
Yeah, look, I've got Silky tattooed on the inside of my lip in Magaluf. It just says Ilky now because the S is a little bit faded. He could have done a better job. But no, the thing I'm getting at, I can understand where he's coming from, but the thing I'm getting at is I don't like how journalists, especially ex-players turned journalists, have cracks at players. I mean, Matty Johns is a perfect example of how to go about that transition. He is funny, he's pretty intelligent, he's massive in Fox News now, but he never throws the players under the bus. Yeah. He could always do that. He could always say, have inside information and just hammer blokes, but he just never does.
I feel that a bit over here as well. Like when I listen to some of the broadcasters, is that I feel like they've lost that what it's felt like to be a player. And do you know what, as much as I love Kyle Fitzpatrick at Warrington and I always speak very highly of him, a lot of the times I said to him, you forget what it's like to be a player, because sometimes he'll criticise the players to me and they want this, they want that, and I said but Kyle, when you was playing, you was the same as a player. You want the things that you feel like you need, you know. And
if anything, it would have been worse back then.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I can see what you're saying there with Carl. You know, he's on the other end and he's got to give it away, whereas the players are always wanting stuff at you, and you're wanting your free car and you're wanting X, Y, Z and you're putting in your contracts. But it's a short career, isn't it? You've got to get as much as you can for as long as you can while you're playing.
You'll know yourself now, Lee. It's, you know, once you've finished, you've finished, mate. And, it's, you know, You're not a second thought to the clubs that you played for. You know what I mean?
No, that's very true, mate. Yeah, like once you're done, you're done. And you know, any young player out there, your career goes very quickly. You know, from 23 to 30, just flies. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot needs to be done. And I know RL Cares does a lot with the guys now, but they need to jump on board with sorting the transition out. I didn't do it the best way I could have done, but you know, it's a tough 6 months coming out of playing and the transition into, you know, normal work. I think if you can make that as easy as possible, the transition towards the end of your career, whether you go part-time or you're doing courses or sitting up with a job or something, I think that's really important towards the back end of your career.
I officially finished playing in 2015, my last season at Fev. Played a couple of games for Swinton after, but
how'd you go there? Championship, good team, Swinton.
Yeah, we did all right.
Had a draw with them, a quality.
A couple of games, but that was 2017. But officially, I only played 4 games, but officially I retired, I'd say, in 2015. And do you know what? It's tough when you finish. It is tough. And I always say, you know, every year that I was playing, I was in education. I was either at college, I went to university, and I set myself up. And even with the qualifications that I've got, I still find it hard now.
Mm.
You know, it's very, very difficult. It's a tough period. It's a tough period. You've got to, I don't know, I've just come to the sort of the conclusion that I'm probably never going to find anything that I've had with rugby before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that. What am I passionate about? What do I want to do? And I'm like, unfortunately, I ain't going to replicate how I felt when I was playing rugby.
You reckon it's the camaraderie?
Yeah, I think that. I was just going to say that.
I think that's a big one.
Main things you miss is obviously the routine of everything. You know, Sunday night, you know, Monday morning you're at training at 8 o'clock. But when you retire, that Monday morning you've got nothing to do, and you're like, right, I'm up, I'm on my own now. I've got to go find a job, get sorted.
Yeah. No WhatsApp group with a bit of
WhatsApp
laugh
group,
going on.
No 30 guys in a changing room where you're having a laugh and you're all in the same kind of boat. You know
what
you're doing, and you're all going towards achieving the same goal. And I think that's what I've missed. I've missed the competitiveness of everything. So. We've recently set up a five-a-side team, so we're playing for a bit of five-a-side.
Funny you say that, Lee, because that's something I've come to realise over the last couple of weeks, really, that I've not been doing anything competitive. When I finished playing, I did a couple of boxing.
I'll fight
matches.
You.
Yeah, you'd fight me.
I'll fight you right now.
I did three boxing matches and I was competing. Do you know what I mean? I was competing, and then from the I've not really done anything. Then I went back playing a couple of games for Swinton, and since then I've not competed at anything, and I've really, really missed that aspect of it. Yeah. And I never thought that I would, because when I finished playing, I was ready to retire. So I thought, I'm ready. I'm not really going to struggle with this transition. But it's been difficult. Yeah. I've been, I'll put my hands up.
And that's just for the players like yourself that have retired on your own doing, not the players that get injured and have to retire. Mm. I think the biggest thing that we've spoke about from this is the way, if the Super League could somehow replicate what the NRL does with the players' contracts, where there's a retirement fund set up for every player. Yeah. I think now it's at $12,000 per four games you play. If you're in the top 30 or you play four games that year for any NRL club, you receive $12,000 into a retirement account. So if you're starting your career now like a Kalyn Ponga or something, you're talking about, and you play 10 years, you're talking about well over 100 grand in a retirement fund for you. Mm-hmm. Now this can be used for 6-7 months off work, a new venture in a cafe or anything you want, because when you leave rugby league, you're not necessarily sure on what you want to do in life. Mm-hmm. It could, you know, you could move into any venture whatsoever, or you could just want some time off to yourself, because let's face it, a 10-year career is pretty hard on the body. I can't remember the last time my body felt half decent, and I only play 10 games a year. But no, I mean, that money comes from the salary cap that's given to the NRL players. So theoretically, it is the players' money. Mm-hmm. It's just taken off the cap. I think it's 250K per club gets taken off the cap. So let's say the cap's 2 million. The cap's now, whatever, 1.85.
It's definitely a good idea. 100%.
Yeah, and just, that's not seen. It's out of sight, out of mind.
There's issues every year, isn't there, with the salary cap?
Well, some people don't even spend it.
Not spending it. People spending too much. You know, clubs being wealthier than other clubs. And I think it's a good idea, though. I think it's definitely something they should look into, because you kind of go through it, don't you? And then you're on your own and you're away, and no one really talks about it. And I don't think anyone really brings it up. I know Keith goes around for RLKs talking to people, but you'll know, you've been in the meetings, and sometimes you just, at the end of the day, you just want to get home. You don't really want to listen to him. And I did that. Just try and encourage your young lads now to, you know, buy into it. You know, try and get you sent on the courses that they're funded for you. You know, once you come out and you try
limited,
to get on a course.
Limited funding, isn't it?
Yeah, but you try to get on a course, a uni course, you're talking thousands of pounds to get on it. And if you can do it while you're playing alongside, and get, you know, some of it paid for by this RL Cares, you know, I think it'd be great.
I think the Rugby League Cares, Steve McCormack and Keith Senior, Emma Rose Warner at the Rugby League, I think they do a fantastic job. For me now, I'm probably saying it now because I am on the other side of the fence and I've retired, but I think it's one of the most important things, you know, support, you know, material that players have got. You know, it's so vital now to, you know, get this transition into a new career. And I thought I had it all planned out, I'll be honest with you. I thought I had my life planned out after rugby, and it's not come out. What I thought I wanted to do it's just completely different now. I'm in this situation. So, yeah, it's such a, every individual is different. Some people go into coaching, and I know some people are loving the fact that they've retired and they've had a great career, and I've spoke to some lads and they're really, really struggling. You know,
I think the coaching one, you know, you're still in the environment, you know you're with a lad, you're having a crack, and it's kind of an easy transition. But with that, there's only 12 assistant coaches, there's only you know, 12 head coaches, you know, 12 conditioners in Super League. I know there's part-time lads at Bradford and stuff, which, you know, you still get a decent crack there, but you know, there's only 12 clubs in our main league.
I think you're saying it's an easy transition. And when I finished playing, I went working at Lee. You was at Lee yourself, and I was involved in the coaching staff for 3 years. And when I stepped away from the rugby environment, and then what I say is I'm in the real world, that's when it hits you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you still are a little bit protected when you're in a coaching environment. It's completely different to playing. And there is a transition process, but I still feel you're a little bit protected there. And it's when you move away from a sporting environment, you're like, shit, wow, this is like, I've got to redevelop myself.
Yeah, 100%. I like you, I thought I had it all planned out. You know, I finished at Bradford a little earlier than what I thought I was going to, so I was thrown a little bit into the real world, you would call. And then I ended up working with my mate. He's a builder. And if you'd have said to me 12 months ago, you know, you'd be working with my mate as a builder, I'd have laughed at you. But to be fair, it's been good. You know, I've had 3 or 4 months at it. You know, I've learned some new things. he's been really good with me. I can come and go as I please with him. But yeah, like I say, not everything goes the way you plan, and you've got to plan into the transition is really, really important for the lads playing.
Yeah, I think Rugby League Cares and Emma Rosewarne and Steve McCormack and that do a great job with very limited resources. But somewhere along the lines here, this sort of thing needs to be incorporated into looking after the players, whether it's within negotiating the new TV deal or Sky deal or whatever it is. I'm not saying you need 250k from each club like the NRL does, because that's probably not feasible. Play, you know, Warrington, Wigan, Saints, Leeds, they could probably afford that. But when you're looking at Cass, Wakefield, Salford, you know, 250k is better spent on players and trying to get themselves into a top five position. But look, even if it was just 50k from each club to begin with, and you know that started a progress of a rolling ball of say £2,000 each year. You know, if you play 6 or 7 years and you finish your career and you've got £15,000 to £20,000 in there, that's a massive difference to having nothing. Because I know that if I finished now, I would need a job Monday. And that's just how it is.
If I had my time again, and if I was to advise players now who were getting a contract, rugby players, I would suggest that even if the rugby league don't, or they take anything from the salary cap, take a percentage of your contract and just put it away, even if it's just £1,000, because over a 10-year period, £1,000 adds up to £10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even that quick can give mass. You a, yeah, I made it easy for myself there, but even a sum of £10,000 can give you a buffer of, you know, a month, 2 months to try and figure out what you want to do, because you were sort of, I mean, I left Lee Centurions and I needed to find a job.
Yeah.
And I went into something because financially it was good, but if I would have had probably about 2 or 3 months to think about something, it might not have been the thing that I would have chosen to do. Mm-hmm. How was you with that, Lee? Was you sort of the same? You finished and then you was like, shit, I need something now? Or, because I know you've got, is it 4 kids?
Yeah. Well,
Waltons.
So I'd struggled, in all honesty. I did struggle. You know, I had a bit of a pot there to tie me over, but obviously with the family that I've got, it don't last very long. Mm. So, you know, I forget, I was working delivering cars to start with, which were all right. It was just, you know, ticking me over, and, you know, a period where I just decided what I really wanted to do, and then it got to a point where I was sick of it. I was all over the country dropping cars all over. I just didn't want to do that anymore. Mm. I just messaged my mate out of blue, just saying, listen, you know, have you got all, you know, come with you, have a laugh and whatnot. And from there, really, that's what I've done. Mm. You know, that set me up to, you know, hopefully in the next few months, I can get a few things going and you know, can see where I want to go now. But these 2 or 3 months have been, you know, vital to me. One, for the money to tick over, and two, you know, learning new stuff. I've never done anything around the house. I always got paid people to do it or whatever, then never had a crack. But now I can do a little bits and bats, which is, it's been really good. He's been really good with me.
I forget to take the bin out every second week, and I do tip runs, and it fucking infuriates me.
I forget to do bins as well. Oh. My job.
But the worst thing is, it's like 3 or 4 metres away from the curb, but they don't come and grab it.
They're not. Oh,
make the extra effort, man. Come and grab it. I forgot. Grab it. You know it's full. Yeah.
We have £200 council tax bill every month.
Yeah. They can't walk 3 metres.
Would you want to go now then? Because you're saying that it's give you a bit of, you know, clarity working for a few months. Where do you want to take that now?
Where do I want to take it? Yeah, so, me and my mate are going to try do something together. He's my best mate from school, so we were, there were me, him and Scott Morrell at school, who were like three musketeers.
Rough crew, that.
We Spam was, Tower.
Did he play rugby as well?
No, did he? Like, he was footballer.
Scott Morrell.
I know who Scott Morrell is.
But yeah, so we're going to try do something on his own. We're just in the pipeline with that, and then, you know, I'm hoping to join Leeds Foundation. It's just all getting sorted at the moment, doing a little bit in the community. So get back into rugby. To be fair, I've had a good 6 months away. I ain't really watched it. I ain't really been involved at all. Over the last few weeks, I've been to Edinley a couple of times, you know, getting back into it. And
that would have been a rough gig.
To be fair, they've been starting playing well since
I
went.
Yeah, they have. Hey, tell us about your ride to Wembley.
Yeah, I was just going to get onto that. So one of the things were is that I wanted to get to this week, and then from there, you know, things will hopefully take on. But next Monday, we start on a journey from Huddersfield to Wembley for RL Cares. It's going to be a tough old trip, to be fair. 340 miles in 5 days.
All that walk bike I used to give you at Lee.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I will never forget that day we got that walk bike. We had two conditioners, him and Nath, stood over this walk bike with a manual looking at it because they didn't have a clue what to do with his walk bike.
The worst thing about a walk bike is the new screens tell you exactly how hard you're working.
Luckily, Bradford's
both watt bikes are broken. So you just said, hey, I'm really struggling here.
But he was a good trainer.
That was me, I broke it.
Yeah. you was a really good trainer though, you Lee, weren't you?
So yeah, he's the trainer.
You better have a good push knacker. You better have a good bike.
Yeah, to be fair, I bought one about 6-7 years ago and it's been stuck in Scott Morrell's garage for 6 years.
Have you took your stabilisers off that now?
Yeah, just about, yeah, just got them off. But I need some new tyres actually. I took it up to RFL a few weeks ago to see John up there and he was saying, oh, your tyres will be too thin because it's a road bike, a hybrid bike. But they were saying that you need bigger tyres because we're going down verges and through.
Yeah. Latex suit and the full helmet?
Goggles?
Really,
I don't know. They say glasses on it, but I don't think I'll be taking them.
I reckon swimming goggles would look good.
Skiing goggles, mate.
Nah, look, for a good cause, good luck with it, mate. Let us know how you go with it.
A few Just Giving pages, I think. There's a few lads doing it. If anyone can support, that would be great. You know, the money goes straight back into the players, like we were talking about before, for them to be funded on courses and universities and stuff like that. So.
And they can be found on your Twitter page?
Yeah, it can do, yeah. I'm a bit useless with Twitter, though. I don't know how to get the link onto my thing. I'm a bit...
It's copy and paste. It's been around since 2003.
I do struggle. But I imagine when we're on the week, you'll have the media team with us who will help me out. But I think, you know, Robbie's doing it. Robbie Paul. Keith Senior, Chris Tewson, who I'm rooming with. So she'll be good.
Beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about Leeds, which is obviously pretty close to your heart. Mm-hmm. Are they safe?
I think so, mate. Yeah. Now.
You think London's going down then?
Yeah, I think they'll go down. But just a special mention to Wardy. I think he's
massive. With what he's done.
Yeah,
I mean, let's look around. The teams around him Reece Martin's been massive signing for Leeds.
I'll tell you what, he's bulky, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He can carry
the ball too. But everyone around him sort of signed players. And let's face it, London haven't had the resources to do so. But I went and watched the London game against Cass on the weekend. And look, London looked in control for about 50 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean... Given the resources, I think London would stay up. I think everyone sort of hopes London would stay up, at the expense of who, I'm not too sure. But I do think Leeds are probably safe.
Yeah, Leeds are safe, and
which is good for the sport.
Yeah, it's good for the sport. I was lucky enough to get in a box at the weekend up at the stadium.
Lucky enough, eh?
It was unbelievable. That stadium now is somewhere else.
It'd be a shame if they were playing it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're in a rebuilding stage, they're in a transition period. You know, since 2015, you've lost, you know, Kevin JP were the main leaders, really.
The dynasty.
And then, you know, they went down, come back up again with probably Rob and Mags running it, and then them two went. So then, you know, you're always going to, when you've had that much influence coming out of your team in such a short period and in key positions, you know, it's difficult to, you know, get people in. But I think Rich has done a great job, Agar. I had Agar at Wakefield when I left Leeds, and he's a good bloke. He'll get the team playing well, and a full off season and a bit of recruiting, I think they'll be.
Has he got the job next year? Because there's rumours circling they're looking in Australia, then there's rumours circling they're looking a little bit closer to home. Brian McDermott's come out and said they'll be looking a little bit closer to home after being burned. That's his words, not mine. What do you reckon? Give him the job?
I'm all for English coaches, mate. You know, I think, you know, Maguire who came over, and you've got Holbrook at Saints who's done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to develop our coaches. There's some fantastic coaches, English coaches out there, and they need to be given jobs. So for me, there's no reason to change it. I think they're going all right. I think Ferner were a bit unlucky, but
I think he was unlucky because he's a great coach. It's just we've all been in teams where it just doesn't click sometimes, you know.
Well, Dave Ferner for me was always going to need time, and unfortunately, he just didn't get it, did he?
The thing about Aussie coaches coming here, or Aussie players coming here, or English players going the other way. You're given a limited time.
I always remember when Matt King first came over to Warrington, and it probably took King here a season and a half to get in. His first season, the fans were so abusive towards him. Someone gave him the sticks in the crowd. We played London away and we got absolutely trounced. And, you know, realistically, on paper, we should have absolutely hammered him. But fans were giving him some stick and someone gave him the sticks, or Kingy gave him the sticks, and it blew up. And he was just in a really bad place for like 18 months. And then he came up, and then once he found his form, he was like a star player for Warrington. And, you know, he could have quite easily just said, look, you've signed a 3-year deal, it's not working out, and they could have got rid of him, but they stuck by him, give him a bit of time, and it works out. But unfortunately, with coaching, it's a different kettle of fish. You know, you've got to win games to keep your job, and Dave Ferner was always going to be in a difficult position with that team.
It is difficult, and he inherited his staff as well. You know, he didn't come over with his own staff, he didn't have his own coaching staff, conditioning staff as well, which
is
difficult.
Massive.
It's difficult, isn't it? When you're the head coach, I think you want to go in there and you want your own staff in and what. But yeah, I feel bad for him, but it's a sport end of day and it's a results business. It's getting ruthless.
You know what you're getting yourself into when you take the job.
Of course you do, and I really hope he goes back and he gets a job and can restart again. It's not he probably won't get a head coach's job now in the NRL, you know, with the way that it finished at Leeds, but you know, go back to assistant and then try work his way back up.
Yeah, I think that's a massive one when inheriting coaching staff. I mean, a lot of coaches like their way or the highway, and then some coaches rely a lot on their assistant coach. I mean, I know Paoli and Chez have a massive, really tight bond at Cass, and Chez's input behind the scenes probably goes really unnoticed, but it is a massive contribution to the team. And then you've got other clubs where coaches just want it just their way. So it was a pretty rough gig, but yeah, I don't know, that's how it happens. Leeds are safe then, we reckon?
I would say so, yeah. They've got good points difference, haven't they? To be fair, I ain't even seen the league. How far in front of London are they? Is it 4 or 6 points?
I think they're 4 off, but I mean, the bottom
they've
of the
Super
League...
They've got to win 3 games, aren't they? Because the points difference is in Leeds' favour, really.
Yeah. London have. And what is the left 4?
Yeah. I mean, and they all play each other.
Right.
KR's got to play Wakey. Wakey's got to play London.
Wakey are in a bit of a...
They've signed the most in this transfer window. I mean, it is shaky Wakey.
Yeah, I seen Ryan Atkins. Is he gone back there immediately? Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, right.
Ryan Atkins. I think there's a couple others. I think there's a lot of players at Wakey that are playing busted.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Bopper, what's his name? Fafita.
He's
obviously playing busted, and he's come out and openly said, look, he's getting injections and stuff to take the field. I think he's undergoing surgery, so look, they're in some trouble. It's been a weird season, hasn't it? Because Wigan were dead and buried.
Yeah,
Leeds were dead and buried. Theoretically, Leeds could make
were flying.
Five.
Mm-hmm. Danny Brough were playing with injury. Yeah. He had an operation and then come back literally the week he had his plaster off, so he wasn't fit to play. Mm-hmm. Tom Johnson got injured early in the season. That was a killer for him because 100%. He was flying.
Yeah.
And
the other wing has been injured
as well.
Yeah,
they're struggling.
But it's just a weird season.
It is a weird
season. Wigan were dead.
Yeah, Wigan
now they're third.
That is a classic example, though, of giving a coach time.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, 100%. Wigan could quite easily... They won the grand final last year, Wigan. They could have quite easily got rid of it.
I think Wigan are the only team at this moment in time who could probably challenge Saints.
Yeah.
And I still don't think they'll get there. I think Saints are a different breed at the moment. I just think... I watched them for the first time last week. I think they played Warrington, were it?
Yeah.
And the kids that they're bringing in, the squad numbers from, for instance, 20 to 25, they're just... They'd fit in most Super League's top 20 squads. And I think that plays a massive part when you rest in your likes of, you know, your Coots and people like that, and you're bringing that young, is it Wellsby, in at fullback, and he's got 3 tries, set 7 up or something in whatever game. So fair play to him. I think they're doing it the right way, and they've got a lot of good English players there playing.
I tipped Warrington 2 trophies, but it's looking tough.
Steve Price had his confidence in his young lads at Warrington as well. I love it when coaches do, because I'll be honest, when you look at those two Warrington kids who played against Saints, Josh Fell-Lewis and Riley, they just look like two kids you've dragged off street. Yeah. They're about 3 stone wet through with bricks in the pockets.
He looks impressive, that Riley, though.
Mate,
he was going for things. He was going for the over the ball pass. Mate, he was going for a 40-20 in his own half.
The coach had confidence in him to play him, and you know, they proved him that.
It's good. It's good that he puts him in there.
Yeah.
Very good. You know, obviously they'll be learning from the likes of Blake Austin, who's obviously a massive loss.
Massive.
Is he gone for the final then? Is that right?
They're keeping that under wraps.
Yeah, not
any
much.
Inside trading?
Not, to be honest, I didn't really speak about it.
Put a disclaimer out there because we don't want to get sued.
Yeah, but it's been a bit quiet, but I'll speak to a couple of lads tomorrow and see what they
The thing with Wembley is, and we'll go back to give you a bit of glory here. When we went to Wembley in 2010, I think the emotion of playing at Wembley got us. Massive. Don't get me wrong, you played very well.
I just think we were a better team, to be honest with you.
You were the better team, and I'll give you that. But, you know, the whole emotion of playing at Wembley, it was our first time to play at Wembley, and I know Saints haven't been there for, is it 11 years or something like that? They're full of young kids who have never played there. You know, that could play in Warrington's favour. You know, the whole aura of playing at Wembley and stuff. But I just think Saints are a bit of,
A big occasion can throw you, though, because, I mean, you only have to see our grand final against Leeds. We pumped Leeds by 60 points twice, only like 8 weeks before, and then just got dicked. Rough gig. Right, that ends part one. We'll be back with part two in just a minute. Calling all amateur clubs and community sports teams. Do you need help in simplifying the bid, writing and funding process? Sportsfunding.co.uk can help your club gain access to community awards of up to £10,000 and capital funding of up to £500,000. Whether you need funding to improve your facilities or to run your community project, Sports Funding can help. Want to find out more? Visit sportsfunding.co.uk. All right, welcome back to the Dry and Woody Show, part two. Wikipedia career. You're in the hot seat. Let's go. 5'10", 106 kilos. No, that's
people change.
You've been on here, haven't you? You've been on here editing. Wing, fullback, centre. Right, let's go. 2005, Leeds Rhinos debut. 105 games there initially. Let's start there. How did it come about, mate? Where did a professional career? Who said, Lee Smith, it's your time to shine?
Yeah, so my career were a bit of a whirlwind to start with. I didn't get the contract from Leeds, what I wanted. So I ended up going to Bradford to start with, which not a lot of people know this. It was in like what's called like a foundation league. I think we were 15 then. And we actually played Leeds five times. I beat them five times. And then one of the lads at Leeds came away from the apprenticeships that were there. In them days, you got given apprenticeships. And then a lad called Bradley Asquith dropped out and I got given the gig in 2003, that was, in academy days, and then worked my way up, and then made my debut in 2005.
What was it like making your debut? Like, obviously, I'm assuming you're a Leeds lad.
Yeah.
What was it like playing, you know, getting the call up? How did it happen? What happened? And
A bit of a weird one, really, because Tony were at the club, and it was his first year, and Woody will know exactly what Tony's like. You know, he had everyone in place. He was, you know, riding everyone really hard, 2004. So my day would start, I would do weights at 7 with the academy lads, and then I'd have to have breakfast, wait about, and some of the lads would go off to college and stuff, but they were, I think me, Carl Ablett, Scott Morrell used to stay back and train with first team as an extra numbers, you know, to run against them. And the back end of 2004, when Leeds were flying, Richie Mavers picked up a wrist injury, and I'd booked a trip to Magaluf with academy legs.
Ooh.
And Tony pulled me.
Tough
and
one.
He said to me, like, you're going to stay with us now. You know, these academy lads had time off. We'd won academy league. And he said, you stay back. I want you to train with first team, because if Richie needs to go in for surgery, you'll be playing. I'll play in grand final. So then, like, I was waiting to go on all day. I think we were going on something like the Thursday. And he eventually came and said, oh no, Richie's going to be fine, you know, you can go on your old day, get away. But then, yeah, I had a good pre-season, you know, I think I made my debut in March, maybe, something like that, the next year, and I think I played 10 games on key swing, which were...
Not bad outside in.
Oh, jeez, running tries in for fun.
Yeah.
But I actually, in 2005, played against, I don't know, you might have been playing, in the game where Andrew Johns played.
Yeah, yeah.
I played against him and Gleese, Jesus, I played at centre and...
What was that like? He was my childhood idol, as I'm sure he was a lot of every kid in Australia. But
I think again, like, they saved him. His debut were against Leeds at Aliwell Jones, big event. I think the stadium had more or less only just been opened and stuff. And he just run the show. He was kicking 40-20s.
Did he have a bit of an aura about him? I mean, you probably played with him and you played against
him. Yeah,
he did. The atmosphere was unreal, wasn't it? I mean, I remember that game. I started that game actually, and from the kickoff,
Joey's kicked off. Few lads injured.
Yeah, there was a couple of injuries. But he's kicked off and it's sort of gone not as deep as he expected, and Rob Bowes has got under it, tried to catch it, and then Chris Lightvoll has just cleaned Rob Bowes out, knocked on, and then from the first scrum we've scored. So from then we just sort of knew that we was going to win that game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was something about Leeds that night where your heads just sort of went.
I think
because Joey had that, Joey Johns is here, they've just scored in the first minute, and from there we had it all our own way, really.
Keith got injured, I played in left centre opposite Martin Gleeson, and Gleeson, his feet were unbelievable then. So it were a tough lesson at 18-year-old getting taught against that, but great experience, you know, great experience playing against them.
Got to learn somehow.
Well, yeah. I think in 2005 I warmed up in three finals. I warmed up in a World Cup Challenge.
No way.
I warmed up in a Challenge Cup final and the Grand Final, which for an 18-year-old lad, were good experience.
Good back guarding, eh?
Like you said, though, you're playing against Martin Gleeson when you're 18 years of age, and like you, when you come through the academy and you're playing your first few games, and like if you're an academy product and you're getting picked a first team at 18, you're pretty much told that you're a good player, and you can sort of have this bit of cockiness about you, but how good is it to play against Super League opposition, especially Martin Gleeson, who's a Great Britain centre
at that time as well. They were killing it, and
such a learning curve.
100%. I hadn't really played centre before anyway. I was skinny as, I couldn't really defend there.
106 kilos.
No, not in 2005.
Not so
skinny. I were quick then.
Yeah.
it was good. It was good experience. Like I say, like, it obviously got put straight in your place. You know exactly. You know, academy. We had the best academy. We were running tries in for fun, and then to get playing against, obviously in a different position, opposite your Great Britain centre. Boom, just straight round me every time. And I think Henry Farfeely were on wing as
well. Yeah, on the wing. Yeah,
big strong bugger.
Bit of a trap.
Again,
one
of the best finishers probably I've ever played with.
Yeah,
including you, Jack. I always remember, it's funny you said that though about Gleeson. I always remember getting picked to start training with the first team. At the time, Andrew G was there from Warrington. Now, GG was overweight, he's small, stocky, like a tank. And I was one of the fittest lads in the academy, playing front row. And then I looked at Andrew G, overweight, and he was in front of me, and I was at the back of all the forwards. And it's like a massive wake-up call. You're like, shit, I've got some work to do here. As good as I am in the academy, no, it's a big step up.
But that leads us on to another thing now, is where the reserve, you know, the reserve grade, I think it's been announced that they've got to have reserve grade. Like, my transition was so good. It was like I played 18s. They're now good enough to play at 21s. I went straight up to 21s, but then you'd have, I think, five of the first team could play coming down. So you, I remember playing against Stu Fieldham at Wigan when he came down because he was coming back from injury, and to play against him, and you were whacking blokes all over. You knew that that's what you're going to be up against if you're going to make it in Super League.
Yeah. We will discuss that reserve grade after this. Just short of 160 games, so 159 if this is correct. 71 tries. 25 goals, one field goal. Do you remember the field goal?
No, I don't think so. I remember missing one.
They've got you down as it went over, mate.
What did they have one?
One field goal. Between 2005 and 2009.
Oh, no, I can't remember. Recall it. No.
Distant memory. Now, look, you had some big highs at Leeds. Do you have a pinnacle? Do you have a pinnacle moment? Obviously that try.
Oh, come on, it's got to be.
Obviously.
Pump your tyres up, let's go.
No, I was lucky enough to play in three grand finals back to back, which is, you know, a great achievement from the team. We managed to win all three, which, you know, the Saints had a real good time at that stage, and I think, you know, the weather helped us, you know, no doubt. We were a really hard working team, kicked long, you know, turned them around. But, you know, in 2008, when Webby got injured, played fullback, and got the man of match in grand finals, probably the highlight of it. But yeah, it's good. I played in three different positions, which not a lot of people know: wing, fullback, centre.
How do you feel about going from that? Because there's not some easy shoes to fill. How did you feel about making the switch? Did you play much fullback that year, or was it just like centre wing and then boom, here you go, grand final fullback?
Yeah, I always came through as a fullback.
Yeah.
And 2006, Richard got injured, and I got a bit of a, I think I got 20 games in 2006 to play fullback.
Yeah.
And I didn't really do myself justice, if I'm totally honest. I didn't play as well as what I could do. The team was struggling a little bit. We didn't play as well as what we did the previous year. And then Webby came available, and he was probably at that stage one of the, well, if not the best fullback in the world. He signed in 2007 and pushed me out to the wing.
Mm.
And then obviously he got injured 2008. So I were accustomed to playing there, but and then 2009, Bluey came in and said, "I'm going to push you in. Ollie's coming off wing. I want you to go play centre." So it was good, really. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing different positions.
Yep. Right. Then 2013, you moved to Wakey. How did that come about? Because this is arguably in your prime there.
Yeah. difficult one, really.
Yeah.
There was a bit of confusion over my contract at Leeds, without going into too much detail.
Yeah.
I ended up going out on loan to Wakey, and then made the move permanent. With Agar end of 2012, and then into 13. But one thing I will say about Wakey is where I had a ball. It was an absolute brilliant club, down to earth. You know, you're at Leeds training, like you've been at Wakey. You'll know at Warrington. Sorry, you'll know that everything's given to you. You know, you got all your protein made for you. You got, you know, your dinners made, breakfast made. At Wakey, you went to literally nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. And the heating were turned off. The lights were put on timers. you know, it was just so budget, so tight budget. But the boys at Wakey, it was like the old Wimbledon days of like the crazy gang. We had such a good time together. And when we were on, we could play. We went in 2012, we went on a, I think it was a club record in Super League. We won 7 on the bounce and made the playoffs. And to this day, I think Washi passed to Ben Cocaine under sticks at Headingley. I reckon if he'd have gone in, we'd have probably knocked Leeds off.
Mm.
And Leeds went on to win it that year. Mm. Don't know the beating final, but
I think that was us, that. But you know what? That it is a good... because that takes me always... When people tell stories like that, my time at Fev, like leaving Warrington, like say you get everything done for you, your meals are cooked, your protein shakes are made, everyone wipes your arse for you. I went to Featherstone and they give me a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. It was January and I had to walk in the gym and I'm like, is this all only kit I'm getting?
Were you there for that? Were you there? Because I was there as well. Were you there for that photo shoot on the pitch where it was just like snowing and that we were in shorts and a shirt and the photographer was just pissing about. We must have sat out on that pitch for a good 45 minutes just freezing.
I think I've got that team picture on my phone actually. But
I remember that first session, the field was frozen and I just landed from Australia and I was like, well, we can't train on this because it's like razor blades. And they said, no, we're training.
But you know what? Like Lee said there at Wakey, I had the best time ever at Fev. I loved it. I know he says different, but I loved it at Fev. It was brilliant. All the lads got on with each other and we had like, you know, we had beers after the game and training was like nice and relaxed. And it's just different, isn't it? Because obviously going from Tony Smith to, you know, something not as serious, it's relaxing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was relaxing and it was good. Everyone, we had like a motto that, you know, you couldn't be in the team unless you'd been fucked off from another club. And like everybody in the team had been fucked off at some stage in their career. And
I need to get there.
And we got on really well. And to be fair, when we played, we could play. We had Tim Smith at half who would, we were a brilliant half.
Oh, surely he made your drinking team, did he?
Yeah.
Starting half.
Jason Dimitriou though, then?
No. But I got a story about Dimitriou. My first ever carry in Super League, he eye gouged me. In a pitch at Headingley, we're all sandy. It was shit field. And he eye gouged me with sand in my eye.
Bastard.
Fuming.
I've got a story about Tim Smith. After he left the UK, I seen him in Bali. And he said, "Hitchy, I've got no fucking board shorts. Give me your board shorts. I'm going swimming." I said, "Yeah, righto, mate." He was blind and I was not far behind. And anyway, he's given me his board shorts. I mean, he's given me his shorts and he's taken my board shorts and he's just taken off and I don't know where he's gone. And I'm like, mate, I've lost him and I don't really know him very well. So I'm like, fuck it. Anyway, I've got back to my thing and he's got like $200 in his pocket. So I just had a few beers on him and he never got his shorts back. I never got mine back, but his were worth a lot more than mine.
Tell us about some of the characters though at Wakey, because Mathers, he's a character.
Oh yeah, so Richie's one of the best ever. And then you had Peter Fox,
Yeah, Foxy.
Strange in his own little world of Foxy. But in fact, I'm looking right at a picture of Benny Cocaine here, looking. He was my winger, Benny. So
I'll tell you who everyone always speaks highly of as well, is Clogger, but I don't personally know him, but
when I first got to Wakey, this is a good story. I first got there and Clogger had it in for me for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, he once sent me and Timmy up to Total Fitness. So like if you want training, he'd send you up. And he sent me on a cross bike session, which I did for an hour and a half, and I wasn't even an halfway through it. So it took me like 3.5 hours to do this session. Anyway, I got off, and because Tim had finished his thing, so I got off and I went back down. And he went, "How'd you get on with that thing?" I said, "I got off halfway, mate." I said, "Because I'd have still been there now." Anyway, he was fuming. And then we all got together in Agar, and I was saying to him, "Well, what benefit is it doing me sat on a bike for 4 hours?"
I never had that argument with you, ever. Fucking hell, it's deja vu this.
And then, to be fair, from that day on, I thought to myself, I'm going to have to, you know, play it by his way, or it's going to be an hard slog. But from that day on, we got on really well, me and Clogger. He's got great banter. If you get on with him, he's got good banter. He got stuck into people. I travelled with Kyler Moore and Ali Lawatiti, which were funny. Kyle's a funny lad. Kermo were a good bloke. He was his captain. Had to try to keep us all
in
check.
He were a good bloke. He was a good bloke.
Oh, he was.
Or is he still a good bloke?
He's still a good bloke. Sorry. Yeah, he's a good bloke, he's Kermo. But yeah, we were a good team. Honestly, anybody who played in that team will say that, you know, we had a good laugh. We had a good morale together.
That's what it's all about, free mates.
Yeah, it was good. Enjoyed my time.
Right. Then, 2015, post-2015, you became a bit of a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Centurions, Bradford Bulls, London Wasps, Newcastle Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
What a mix.
So, the Wakefield to Newcastle it was. I had no idea this. It wasn't me that I didn't try to get the move at all.
Yeah,
I landed. We'd been away with the family. Landed, and got a phone call. The club want to get in touch with you. So obviously worried. You know, Wakey that at that time wasn't financially properly stable. You know, they'd let 5 lads go. You know, Newcastle have come in. They want to sign you. We won't stand in your way. If you want to leave, there'll be no transfer fee or all like that. So that were it, really. Went up and met Dean Richards and then signed up there.
You played rugby before, or?
I did as a kid. Played rugby as a kid. And it was probably half and half. I probably played half rugby union, half rugby league. And I got to a point where when I had to sign for Leeds, I had a chance to go play rugby union, like in, I don't know, some kind of development squad for England or whatever, but I obviously wanted to play for Leeds. That's all I ever wanted to do at that stage. But I did obviously want to have a crack at playing it.
Mm. And that was just left field, just rugby union out of the blue?
Yeah, it literally came out of the blue. And then I went up there and it wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be, if I'm totally honest. But
quality
setup.
Yeah, quality setup at Newcastle, isn't it?
Very good. And again, really good blokes up there. You know, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed Newcastle as a city, a brilliant city, full of really good, genuine people. But it was difficult, and I didn't get much game time for one. I don't, you know, sometimes it were like there'd be a spot on bench, and they'd probably chose a more experienced rugby union lad rather than giving the kid who's not a bit inexperienced a chance. Mm. But then, when obviously coming back out of that, you know, it was difficult picking up a club. I hadn't played much Premiership rugby, you know, I'd have probably stepped down to Championship, play part time, and it at that stage, I probably weren't ready for that. And then I ended up with Woody at Lee.
Was that the year you were in Super League?
No, we got to Super League.
Oh, so I got the Lee Smith effect.
I enjoyed my time at Lee. You know, it was different for me going over to Lancashire, travelling every day.
Yeah, and but again, towards the end of that, there's some money issues and stuff again with the whole Lee thing.
Well, I luckily got out before all that. Like, my were, you know, very amicable. My parting, you know, Derek were very good with me.
It was difficult for you, I think, at Lee, because they was asking you to play a role that you probably weren't familiar with, and mm-hmm. Greg McNally was fullback, who was probably fitter than you, isn't he? Mm-hmm. They asked the fullback to play a lot of position, a lot of field position, weren't they?
It was difficult the way that Lee had played. You know, it was a transition period. I remember getting in there first, and I sat with Finney, who were there, and the way that Lee were playing, I've never seen out like it before in all my life. And it was like, right, okay. But then Rose had just gone. Then Finney went. And then Dukie got put in. And then they signed all these players from all over. And it was just a bit, we started on shocking, didn't we, really? I remember we nearly got turned over in the first couple of games. Oldham nearly beat us.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, we lost the first game at Batley.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get beat then all year. But the
this was on the back of Brian Brealey scoring like 38 tries or something, wasn't it? That year.
Well, Ryan Brealey ended up leaving a couple of games after the Batley one. There was loads of turmoil, but we lost the first game of the season, and then we only lost the last one, which was Leeds at Edinburgh. But it was difficult for you because you weren't the style of fullback that they was asking you to play. Mm-hmm. But you never had a bad game at fullback. But because you didn't fit into that system, it was quite difficult. So Greg McNally would always get that.
Yeah, it was difficult. And I remember.
I haven't seen Greg McNally take a yardage carry in 5 years. Continue.
The cat. It was difficult. It was difficult towards the end. You know, obviously, I'd played all year and then come to the bigger games and didn't get picked. So it was a bit of a kick in teeth, but. It's sport that end of the day, and you know, come away. We'd got promoted, which was brilliant. You know, it's a big achievement getting promoted, and then come away, and obviously the club wanted to go in a different direction, sign some more big names. So I got let go, and then from there, I was actually training with Leeds. I trained with Leeds for a couple of weeks. Brian McDermott said I could more than welcome to go down, keep fit, do a little bit, and then Bradford came in.
Yeah, well, arch nemesis. Yeah. Leeds arch nemesis, the Bulls. 2017, 2018. And you're still chalking up a lot of games. Like, you're playing 23 games a year at both Leeds Centurions and Bradford Bulls. 8 tries, 4 goals. No drop goals at the Bulls. But how did you find your time there down at Oddsall?
Yeah,
It was difficult
to start with. You know, you're going in, they just literally that week come out of administration. The boys' heads were all over the place. They didn't know where they were coming, they were going. We didn't have a coach at that stage. We didn't have a physio. We didn't have anything, really. And then Jeff Toovey came in, tried to steady the ship a little bit, but it was...
What a bloke to steady his ship.
Oh, God. It was tough. And I did feel sorry for Jeff because I think he was promised a lot more than he was actually given. Obviously, coming in straight away, we were training. And we had no physio. The lads were strapping each other up.
You're talking about Ian Jeff Toovey, a guy that is mega passionate about what he's doing, eh? And to be in the sort of the League One sort of championship environment with players that he would sort of look at and say, obviously you've got likes of yourself and a few others that, but for the majority of part, you've got a lot of people that are learning there.
Yeah.
I mean, and he would have, I'm sure he would have.
He
would have sprayed some blokes.
Some good sprays out there. There was some good half-time team talks from him. But to be fair, you know, we ended up getting relegated, which we were up against it. We had 12, minus 12 points. But at one stage, we were flying. I think we'd won like 7 on bounce. Mm. And we were flying. And then a couple of injuries set in. I think, you know, Pricey got injured. We were probably his main playmaker with Keezy there. And then it was just difficult then. Once you get in that losing, it was just loss after loss after loss. And then we ended up getting relegated, and it was sad, really. It was sad, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of lads didn't know. They were all off contract. Everyone were off contract.
And your contract becomes void after relegation. Yeah, it's all that bullshit,
I actually, there was no one to blame. It was just a difficult period for the club. You know, the owners didn't have mega cash to go out and buy everyone. The crowds were unbelievable, to be fair to Bradford. The crowds kept coming and coming. Even though we were getting beat, and then you know the journey started again for the League One started. You know, John Keir got brought in to steady the ship, and then you know we ended up getting out of that league, which were brilliant. End of the day, I finished obviously with getting. I didn't play too many games in that year, but Bradford obviously got promoted while I was there, which is, you know, yeah, I left the club.
You're welcome.
In a better state than what I went there with, which, you know, I felt I contributed a small amount to that.
The biggest game of your career is going to happen, though, on the 28th of August.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. Legends game. Let's start from the bottom ranked. Paul Wood, Lee Smith.
No. I can't believe they're letting us play. It's a Legends game. How have we got into that?
Swipe card.
I think default because I've played the last two.
Them cards still work. Right. Yorkshire versus Lancashire. Confirmed players. Obviously, you two. It is pretty star-studded, isn't it? Jason Robinson, Martin O'Fire, Stuart Fielden, Barry McDermott, Rob Burrow, Sean Long, Danny Orr, Lee Breers, Ryan Bailey, Paul Scalfort, Brett Delaney, Dennis Betts, Keith Senior. Do I need to keep going? Because this list is long, man. Yeah. Mick Cassidy, Chev Walker. I'll just jump ship.
Wagga.
Wagasaurus. Paul Newlove. XFEV legend. Is that, am I right there?
Yeah. Unsense.
Lee Gilmore. Tommy Martin. Carly Luluai. Chris Joint.
Yeah.
Famous try scorer. Yeah. I know a little bit about British Rugby League, mate.
A little
bit more than you think I do.
A couple of years ago, though, the first one that we did at Edinley, when there was dismantling the stadium, I played with Dennis Betts, and he was one of my childhood heroes. So, like...
Betts is doing the ride to Wembley.
He was, probably one of my favourite players watching Wigan as a young kid. And then I got the chance to play with him, and it was like, wow.
Are you on the same team?
No, we're opposite each other.
Oh, so he's a bit of bad blood.
Betts?
No,
mate. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant
you're from Yorkshire.
Right, I'll give you the scenario, and you sort of let me know what you want. Right, shit hits the fan. Right, 20th minute, everyone's still a bit juiced up. We're ready to go. Pre-workout's kicked in. Shit hits the fan. Who do you want next year, and who don't you want next year in a scrap?
Well, Woody will probably still be on bench.
Woody doesn't want himself with himself. Is Gravy Ann playing?
No, Gravy Ann.
Oh, no.
Ryan McGoldrick.
Ryan McGoldrick's playing, so you're fucked.
I'd love to have Scully next to me.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Scully on your left.
Scully can box. And then I just want a shit house like Barry McDermott just to throw a few headbutts and stuff.
Yeah, well, Barry McDermott once told me violence sells. So
it's true.
Right, that's not a bad face off.
To be fair, yeah, they've got. Let's just have a look.
Who you got then?
You've got Radders. Radders is harder than white dog shit.
Yeah, Radders is hard.
So you got Radders on your right.
You got Radders, and then you've got you got to have Keith Senior, haven't you?
So that's who you're going with.
But then you've got Stu Fielden. What about them two, Stu and Barry? I was watching an old clip of them two. Back in the day, they used to knock lumps out of.
So who you dropping? You going Radders and Fielden?
Yeah, for me, Keith's lost too much weight. He's not big enough anymore.
Right.
He's doing too much running and biking, so he needs to...
I'd actually like to see that kick off, and if it does, let's just really... I don't want to condone violence in the game.
Should kick off.
Yeah, it definitely should. That's what it's all about.
Do you know what, though, on a serious note, do you reckon you should bring it back, Lancashire, Yorkshire, as a...
And build it up to what an Origin stage would be like. That's the biggest game of the year in Australia.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that. We need to bring it back. Look at the players that could be playing and the teams against each other. You know, and then for instance, all the lads in Australia, if they could bring them back, you know, play it the same day as the Origin and say, listen, our lads are coming back to play in our Origin.
Great idea. You know, you're ideas, man.
You got the Burgess boys. You got look at the team you could have for Yorkshire: Bateman, Whitehead, Josh Hodgson.
We
Burgess
see,
boys. Jesus, we're Origin.
We're Origin. Takes it serious though. It's over here. I remember the Lancashire and Yorkshire. Is it 2003 over here. And for me, it weren't really taken that seriously because all of a sudden you're adding another game to the calendar. The lads are already, complaining because we're playing too many games. So every time we do add a game and try and build a concept, there's always a defence against it. So I think, first of all, we need to say, listen, the league games need to be 12 in Super League. If we have 12 or whether we have 14, we play each other once, and then we add Lancashire and Yorkshire. We can't be doing this where some teams are playing a Super League team three times and just to make the games up. It's all nonsense.
I get that. And as much as magic's good, I'd much rather see a Yorkshire Lancashire series than another
100%.
Magic. I think just play each other home and away, like everyone does,
Yeah.
And then from there, the Yorkshire Lancashire could be the build up to the end of the season, getting picked to go on your tour.
Yeah.
Or playing for your country end of year.
Well, it's like you said though, you play a team three times. I mean, Wigan play Saints three times, Warrington play UKR three times.
We've played Halifax six times this year. Yes.
Look.
Surely cut that short.
Yeah, but you've been unfortunate though because you've drawn them in cup as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
But still, even so, just going off purely league games, Wigan play Saints three times, who were top of the league, and Warrington play OKR, who were like near the bottom. Mm. So who's got the advantage there in terms of keeping the league position? And how close are Warrington and Wigan in the league now?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a fair concept for me.
We'll get straight back into that after we end part two, which is now. But just back to that Legends game. It's only a tenner to get in, to potentially a bit of free biff. $5 for the concessions. So you've got a bit of beer money there. And it's in aid of 20 years of service for Leeds Rhinos JDB. JJB, that's what's going in his pocket. I'm not promoting this shit. Now, look, good luck to everyone involved. Good luck, boys.
Yeah, I never mentioned Gilly, though.
Lee Gilmore as well.
Who played in some mega games and did some big things. He's played in lots and lots of finals.
Yeah.
And had beat the Aussies.
He's done a lot in rugby league, and his services after he's finished playing as well. He's involved in coaching now at Wakefield. He has given a lot to the sport, so he'll have to be there because I'm not sure of a lot of these names on here.
He's got the Triangle Sticks in 2006, mate. Do you remember that when Great Britain beat you?
No,
and he got knocked out about 5 minutes.
I remember thrashing the English throughout my whole career. Just English being thrashed. Even when I come over here, we thrashed just. I'm been sitting on the fence, but I'm going to have to go Yorkshire.
I am as well.
Right, that ends part two. We'll be back in a second. Stag Sports Performance Wear are the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. From t-shirts to team wear, their kit is made to last with your own unique design. You can grab some of our exclusive Rugby AM gear by heading to rugbyam.co.uk/shop. Or why not allow them to create your team's on and off field wear? One-off charity match shirts, a specialty. Just email info@stag-sports.com for your bespoke quote today. Welcome back to the Jai and Woody Show, part three. Let's talk about this Robert Hicks scenario with the death threat. So I'm just going to read you the tweet. There you go. Have that fucking at RFL scumbags. You'll all be killed tomorrow. Robert Hicks will be shot dead live on TV. Watch and learn enough of your corruption. And then he's added scumbags for a second time.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
That's a bit fucked up.
When were this from? On what's it? When's
well, it was on the 31st of May, but it's obviously taken off since then. But usually, people that write this stuff, it's a fake account, and people just do it. Like, did you see the Warrington guy that sort of said that he was hit in the stands? I retweeted that and said fake news because it was just a fake account. But no, this is a legit bloke.
It was a fake picture, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a legit bloke, and I mean, refs are under the pump enough as it is. I mean, this is just ridiculous, isn't it? But what's happening with it?
Yeah, so I was speaking to Fitzy, the CEO at Warrington, and they've tracked the fan down. He's a Warrington fan, and he's sent the abusive texts. And apparently what they're going to do is they're going to sit the fan down and he's going to explain why he sent the tweet, and then Robert Hicks is going to say the impact that it's had on him, and then they're going to throw it out there to social media. So it's going to be sort of like...
learning curve for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but what I was going to say is it's going to be like a gloves are off, you know, like the boxing where they sat opposite each other on a table, and they're going to both describe their experience and what impact it had on them. So should be interesting if that comes out in the social media. But again, you know, Warrington, they're just doing something different on the marketing side.
Yeah, I think it's obviously good what Fitz is going to do with that. And if the lad sits down with a ref, it would be good. But, you know, there's just no room for that, is there? You know, the refs are under the pump as it is.
There's abuse.
Yeah, it's difficult to get refs in the game as well, and Robert Hicks is one of his better ones.
Yeah. I'm glad he spoke up about it, but, like, let's just rewind it for a second. I will watch that interview if it does happen. Mm. I'll be keen to watch that. But let's rewind it. If this was about, like, terrorism or any shit like that, you'd be locked up.
Mm. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, my perception on this is when you're a rugby player and you're in the public eye or you're a referee or you're a coach, you do open yourself up to abuse, because fortunately some people are just absolute cretins and they don't have any... They don't understand that games can be won and lost and people make, you know, human errors.
Mm.
And I believe that, you know, we if people give abuse, then it's water off a duck. It should be water off a duck's back to us, and we just say it's just another gobshite fan. But that is literally taking it too far. Yeah. That
and it's not a public forum.
That I don't agree with. If I had a bad game, and I think he had 2 out of 350, but
200.
But if I was to get abuse and someone said, "Would you were shit on Sunday or Friday, whenever it was," I've opened myself up to that criticism. I've got to just deal with it and then do the right thing to get myself back.
It's part and parcel, a little bit of shit.
Of course it is, yeah. But that is, if I'd have got abuse like that, I reckon it would have affected me that. Yeah. To get shot.
live TV as well. Fucked up. No, but it's happening a lot lately. I mean, football, the racism in football, that's. I think they've had 5 counts of racism. We're only at week one. 5 counts of racism with like monkey gestures and someone threw a banana on the field.
I don't get this tribe mentality where people go. It's like, for me, I don't get football. I don't get football fans out there. They go and they have these fights and they meet up and stuff like that and like abusing referees and getting so passionate. Yeah, you want your team to win, but at the end of the day, it's just a game.
But they're paying top dollar. These blokes are paying top dollar to go watch these football games.
Yeah, but Jai, you're missing the point. The point that I'm trying to make is...
You think there'd be some class about them, though?
But Jai, they're relying on a team and something out of their control to dictate whether they are happy on a Saturday afternoon, whether their team's won or lost. It should just be, my team's playing, I want them to win, but if they lose, they lose, and it's as simple as that.
I have to disagree with you to an extent, obviously not to
I like a bit of controversy. Let's go.
I'm a big football fan. I'm a massive Leeds fan, and I'm not happy when they get beat. I'm not an happy bunny, but I obviously won't be sending tweets like that out. But football is different. It's people's life. They love it. They work the week to go to the football on a Saturday, and if your team doesn't do what you want them to do that week, it's crazy.
But the point I'm trying to make is that guy who's like getting high blood pressure and he's just like spitting at the referee and that, does he generally think that that is going to make a difference to his team's performance?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
That is to the extreme. There's no place for that in any sport.
It's like Mike Bassett. Have you seen Mike Bassett? When that guy's saying, you should play this, you should play that, and then Mike Bassett says, fuck off, and gets on the coach. I reckon a football manager should just do that.
The thing that baffles me is with this this racism thing and these monkey chants and someone threw a banana on the field and shit, is like, he's surrounded by his mates. If my mate, if I was at the football and my mate threw a banana on the field, I'd knock him out. You'd pull him up and be like, mate, you're fucking kidding yourself, aren't you? But like, they all just sit there still. Who are you with?
It is wrong, yeah.
It's weird.
I think, you know, what Raheem Sterling's doing at the moment in the community and what he does. I think they played in Charity Shield 2 weeks ago and he's having pictures with his team that he left 5 years ago. He was hated for going from Liverpool to Man City, and he spent time giving a young girl his shirt, had pictures with everybody, and he's raising the awareness on a really good scale.
He shouldn't need a raising.
But the way he's doing it, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it needs to stop. It's wrong. There's just no room for racism in any sport, and it's just
in anywhere. Yeah.
Anywhere in any general life as well. I think it's just, I don't know. Maybe people need educating more on it. I don't know.
It baffles me. It really baffles me sometimes. But
it's just how people can lose the peace of mind just so quickly over a game. Just absolutely baffles me. I probably didn't get that upset after I lost a grand final. After I lost my nut. Never mind a game.
Didn't get that one.
You know what I mean? I didn't get that irate. Do you know what? But my lad does it now. My lad is probably Warrington's biggest fan. And we go to every home game. And when they lose, he cries in the car on the way home. And I have to explain to him that this is... He's 21. He's only 11 years of age, but I have to explain to him that it is just a game. Yeah. This is nothing serious. I want him to win the grand final. I want him to win the Challenge Cup, but it is just a game.
Yeah, but it's not to some people, is it? I mean, you just got to look at football fans. Have you seen that picture of... it's just really stuck in my mind, this Man City picture of... It's like... 8 years apart, and it's a dad and his son, and his son must be about 5 years old, yeah. And then it's like 8 years apart, and they've got the same season ticket.
Oh, see? The same.
And they're both doing the like wanking gesture. Oh, and it's like, and the young fella's doing the wanking gesture. He must be 6 years old, and it's honestly like a time warp. 8 years forward, and they're both like this. To the ref, and I'm just like, you guys just love it that much, and it's just crazy football, isn't it?
The only thing I get involved in banter, because I'm not a football fan, I'll be honest, and I don't really watch it, but when everybody jumps on the Liverpool fans for giving them abuse, I know you give the Liverpool fans abuse because you're a Leeds United fan, but there's nothing better than giving it to
them. To be fair, Leeds never do really well, and I end up on the wrong foot of it all the time, but we have some good banter, especially with the Price brothers. They go missing all the time, the Price brothers. I'm always here, you know, taking the abuse.
I think I see a bit of this. I'm an undercover Leeds United fan.
How do you feel, though, about people who are not from a specific town or city and they support that team?
Do you know, it's the Man United train. Everyone jumps on, I'm a Man United fan. Or now they're all Liverpool and City fans because they're going well. I don't know. I'm from a big city, so it's the only team I would ever support. And my lads are brought up the same way. If they ever try to support Man United, they'd probably have to go find a new family.
If I was to support a football team, it would be Wigan Athletic. Even if
we play Wigan this week.
Championship, aren't they, Wigan now?
Saturday, mate, I might come over.
I'm going to put my Stone Island jacket on then and come and meet you.
This is like Queensland fans supporting, being born in Queensland and supporting New South Wales. It's just like... It's bullshit. But when I got over here,
it's like being born in Australia and playing for England.
Leeds United. I didn't know you couldn't do that.
You can't do that.
I did not know you could not do that because I thought to myself, well, they're in different divisions. Anyway, I sat there explaining at a Leeds game to a Leeds fan, and he looked at me like I was the biggest piece of shit on the planet. And I was like, well, you're in different leagues, though. And he's like, mate, we've got... Well, he wasn't speaking like that because he's British. He was like, mate, we've got a fucking rivalry. What was that? Was that good?
Not Yorkshire, but anyway.
Right, let's talk some transfer news before we wrap it up. Cipriani. Is it Cipriani? Cipriani to the Wolfpack, potentially. You reckon it won't happen, Lee?
I don't see it happening, no.
But that would be massive, wouldn't it? Rugby league.
Yeah, it would be massive for rugby league. I don't ever see that coming about. I don't see him as a rugby league player, but, you know, if he does, he'd be good.
Was linked with Sonny Bill Williams at the beginning of the year, so I think they're just throwing
I'll be honest. We'll give you some inside information. That was reasonably close to happening.
What is Sonny Bill's plans after the World Cup? Does anybody know?
Mate, no idea. Bit of boxing, bit of money, bit of whatever he's into.
It'd be good. It'd be good to see him over here, wouldn't it? To give it a crack. Saying if Toronto do get up, Lee are making some signs.
They've got to be some. Lee could be.
I seen
Lee is the dark horse.
Kev Brown, is that right?
Yeah, Kev Brown.
That's an unusual bit of business for Warrington, isn't it?
Till the end of the year.
Who?
Mitch Clark.
Oh, but he said Daz Clark.
Warrington, though, getting rid of Kev for the season and then bringing in Matty Smith's a bit of an unusual one, isn't it?
Mm. That is weird for me. Blake Austin is a massive loss, and I'll be honest, if he's out, Warrington are not winning. That's just me. Need him to win.
I go to all the home games, and I've been watching them away as well, and at the moment, I feel we'll struggle without Blake Austin. He has been the difference.
It's what you pay the big money for, end of day, don't you?
Yeah, and he is earning his money.
He is delivering, to be fair to him.
But that's what Bradford say about me. Not.
But yeah, I think Warrington they've got a bit of work to do, I think, if Blake Austin's not playing. I think they've got it in the forwards. I think that they're just... I'd like to see him a little bit more rugby and a bit more off the cuff. They seem very structured this season, and I like that Tony Smith style of play where it's you have a bit of a structure, but you can go away from it as well. And that I feel that's how Saints play quite a bit. When they see something, they just attack it. Mm. They go and they score tries, and seemed effortless to get out of Warrington's. Saints. It looked effortless for them to get out of their own half and get into a reasonable position for a kick at the weekend.
I think they've just got a strike all over, haven't they, at the moment, Saints, and they are a very good team to watch. I tell you what will be interesting for them to go the week before the final. Do they rest anyone at Headingley? Always a big game, Leeds Saints, the big rivalry there.
Well,
but it's not now.
They have rested against London, I wouldn't be surprised if they rested against Leeds. But
what would you do though? Would you, as a player, would you want to be rested before a final, or what? How would you go?
I think it's how you're feeling, eh? If you're carrying a little bit of a niggle, yeah. If you got the luxury,
if you're fully fit, what do you do? Well, see, for me, I'd rather play. I won't want to break.
Depends what if you're one of them players that sort of. I think the moment you say to yourself, "Yeah, I'll play." The moment you start realising, oh, if I get injured here.
Especially, obviously, they haven't
been
there
when Warrington got to that first Challenge Cup in 2009, 2 weeks before the final, I broke my leg. So I missed the first Challenge Cup final. Warrington played in 30 years. 2010, we got back to Wembley. And the week before, Tony was like, I'm going to play against Wakefield. He only rested two or three players. Lee Breeze didn't play, a couple of others. And all through that game, all I could think about is don't get injured for this game. Because I couldn't miss a second Challenge Cup final. And I had the worst game ever. I think we just beat Wakefield.
Lost the nut in that game as well?
No, we didn't.
I was going to say, what a rough week.
But I had the worst game ever. Tony come up to me the week leading into it. I'm nervous as shit thinking I'm not going to get picked here. He went... You played shit, but I'm going to give you a chance. And I was on bench and I'm like, fucking get in. I've made my first Challenge Cup final. But I think I'd sooner play, to be honest. I think you've got to just try and take that game out of your mind. But it's, to be honest, you know yourself, it's impossible. You're going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, especially Wembley's... you're not a football fan, are you? But you know, Wembley's like the pinnacle to play at.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, obviously, I didn't have a very good experience there. I preferred playing at Old Trafford. I thought the atmosphere at Old Trafford were better the more it were at Wembley.
I loved it, mate, and I always said, because I watched Wigan as a kid, my ambition was to play at Wembley and lift Challenge Cup. Very fortunate to do it twice, and I would substitute one of those medals for a grand finals medal, because I loved playing at Old Trafford. Yeah, to lose there is devastating. And I'd love to be able to sit here now and say I've got a Challenge Cup and a grand finals ring, but I've not, and you've got three.
I lifted the
and a World Club Challenge.
I lifted the League One Shield at Bradford. It was pretty. It was really good. Hey, look, Wakey have probably made it the most well known that they're shaking in their boots a bit. Well, not shaking in their boots, but look, they've signed Ryan Atkins from Warrington, Adam Tangata from Halifax, who was formerly at Widnes, but all that shit broke out.
What a career Ryan Atkins has had though for Warrington in 10 years. He has been going back to that first Challenge Cup final, I was blowing out my arse, and he made a break from about 30 metre line and scored and pulled us out the shit. He's had some big games for Warrington.
He definitely doesn't make a drinking team though, does he?
No. To be fair, I played with Ryan, Rugby Union under 15s, I think it was. Played for Yorkshire and North England together. And then he went to Bradford, I think it was.
Bradford,
he started at Bradford. Big lad, very athletic, very quick.
Probably one of the quickest player the balls in Super League.
Oh yeah, athletically. For me, should have played more for England. Corner. I think I don't know why. I don't know whether people didn't get on with him or he didn't fit in, or I don't really know that side of it. But for me, should have probably played more for England.
But what about that attempted dive in the corner?
Awful.
Yeah.
Morgan Escarray going there as well, after saying he's definitely staying at Wigan to try and cement his spot. He's gone to Wakey. And Chris
Difficult
Green.
For that lad, isn't it, when he signed Zach in, you know, quality player.
What they're flying Bevan French for? He's Parramatta's fullback. I don't understand where he's going to play.
I'm not sure then. I thought we were centre, Bevan.
Well, he played something like 20 games in 2018
right.
at fullback. And then he's struggling to get a crack there, obviously, with Clinton Gufferson ahead of him.
So got rid of the French
captain as well.
To bring in the French.
Mm.
Hey. You see what I did there?
Yeah, mate. How you've been pondering that. Right, yeah, look. That's all the shining news. Hull FC have signed some really class players from the NRL for next year. I'm going to tip them early to be a very big threat.
Mate, they're still a threat this year for me.
Yeah, but
I think Saints have got this wrapped up. Yeah,
but I'm saying who can challenge them, and I think Hull.
On their day, Hull can challenge probably anybody.
Such a weird team,
all
out there at
the moment. All across the pitch, don't they?
One stage, I think they went 1 week beating someone by 50. Then they got beat by 50. Yeah. Then they beat someone again by 50. So,
if all their key players switch on, if Sneed's kicking games bang on, which it usually is, but if he turns one on, Jake Connor turns one on, yeah, Albert Kelly back from injury, Shaw.
I think
it could have been a different result if they'd have started Jake Connor in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, because you come off the bench. I think if they'd have started, that was quite a bold move from Lee Radford. Not sure why he did it, but could have been a different result, that.
And I forgot about this winger. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. Ngalu?
He's class.
I mean, he can score from anywhere as well. On their day...
A big rap to Tony Clubler. Do you see him all the week?
Big clubby come flying
along and got him.
He used to be a centre, though.
He had some serious pace.
Clubby
scored four tries on his England debut at centre, if I recall that.
Right. That wraps us up, boys. Smithy, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Pleasure,
mate.
Woody, thanks for coming on, mate.
Cheers.
We'll see you next week. Cheers.
This is a Rugby AM production.